You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You have the famous Alec Medford. And it's Jacob Ray joining us for the week as well. He's fancy on this show, so he's Jacob. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How the heck we doing today? And everybody out there listening, 877-881-1053, how the heck are you doing today on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line?
Hagee, I'm doing great for a multitude of reasons. One, I'm happy you're back. I'm not happy that Corey's gone. Don't start any beef, but I am happy that you are back. Mm. But two, I woke up at the first alarm this morning. I wake up at 5 to go work out before the show, so sometimes it's a struggle. Mm. I woke up on the first alarm and got out of bed. That's usually a sign that it's going to be a good day if the first alarm works. I'm feeling great today. Usually Mondays are kind of slow for me, but I am amped up. I'm energetic. I'm ready to go.
Jacob, that's a high bar.
Yeah, and I'm gonna break it, Alec. I woke up before my first alarm, so
good for you.
I'm excited. I got to experience Alec and Corey last week. Now I get to experience Alec and Kevin. So I get the best of both worlds here.
Hey, you guys talked about your alarm clock. Potentially, when you get older, you might have a little human who climbs into your bed and sometimes kicks you because they're trying to get comfortable sleeping. And that will serve as your alarm. Just something to potentially look forward to in the future.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, look, you like it or don't, it can definitely happen. From the 214, I'm okay and I didn't get any presents either. Is that because you chose that you didn't want any presents or nobody gave you any presents? And if that's the case, maybe we could figure out something. Friday at Taco Bueno, I found extra giveaway items this morning after the aforementioned little person kicked me in the side and woke me up far before my alarm was set to go off. And from the 817, I'm mad to be back at work. I have a Switch 2 and a new couch at home. And that is the difficulty. If you were on vacation of going back to work, it is like, oh, man. But for people who are just in school, hey, you don't have school this week.
Yeah, good for you. I miss that life. I envy the RJ Choppy life. I've still got to get skins on the wall in this radio thing. So right. I show up when other people don't want to by design. And then I see Choppy talking to Will on the way out on Friday. He's like, hey, I'm free all next week. PGA. You, me, golf. And I'm like, oh, that would be cool.
I gotcha.
But you know, radio calls.
Radio calls. Indeed. And thank you for answering. From the 817. Gentlemen, for Christmas, my amazing wife got me an autographed John Cena photo. It had the authentication sticker and everything. I have got the best wife ever. That is fantastic. And then from the 469. I'm cold as crap, fellas. But out here, getting my morning 5 miles in, keep up the good work and keep motivating me. Yeah, look, once again, you saw it as yesterday progressed. Texas weather is drunk. The high and low were 49 degrees apart yesterday. Ooh. And so it's going to be super cold today, pretty cold tomorrow, and then maybe we'll level out just a little bit. But I want to talk about something totally different to start. I have this thought, or I guess question, about the Cowboys. And oftentimes, I have been known to openly mock Mike Florio. I will admit, maybe. I will own that. And so I will springboard off of an article that he put out that I will say it's a tricky spot to be in. Because on the one hand, he's helping provide content. On the other hand, feels like he just kind of wrote this story based on nothing. And he was like, you know what could happen? It's like he was doing a combo platter segment and then wrote his name on it as if it had actual sources. All right. But we're going to include a whole lot of people on this. But essentially, the story discusses how the Cowboys could be lurking for Brian Flores, who you call
the boogeyman.
As the Matt Eberflus replacement. Look, if the last three games were going to be an indication of Matt Eberflus keeping his job, you still got one to go, but doesn't feel like it's looking super good. All right. But Brian Flores has positioned himself in a great spot. He decided he was going to wait while the Vikings were trying to re-sign him to be the DC, and it looks like he's probably made himself a lot more money. Now, I still don't necessarily think being an NFL head coach is in his immediate future, but it does feel like he's made himself an awful lot of money. Now, the concept of bringing in Brian Flores as the defensive coordinator, and we're going to relate this into Rico Dowdle, Javonte Williams, Max Crosby, all of it. Consider this. Before Brian Flores got to Minnesota in 2022, they were 31st in total defense and tied for 28th in points with two other teams. So, total defense, yards given up, only one team in the NFL was worse. Points given up, only two teams in the NFL were worse. Before Brian Flores got there, he gets there, boom, mediocrity. And if you go from the worst to mediocrity, that's a big jump. Can you imagine if the Cowboys had a mediocre defense this entire season? I don't feel like we would be talking about this Giants game the way we are eventually probably going to talk about it. So he gets him up to middle of the pack. Then last year, fifth in the NFL in points. They went from only having two teams worse than them to only having four teams better than them. And then this year, they're 10th overall in points allowed and 6th in total defense. So you've seen consistent top 10 the last 2 years. After his first year, he turned one of the worst defenses into mediocre. And if you've watched his career as a defensive, specifically as a defensive coach, not a head coach, I feel like there's a lot to love, right? Yeah, good.
There's a ton to love.
All right.
A ton.
And just keep that off to the side for just a minute. Because you're like, oh, man, that does sound great.
Oh, man.
Just push that to the side for just a second. Now let's talk about why this isn't going to happen for the Cowboys. Aww. I'm so sorry to, like, kind of pull the rug out from under you. This is just my theory.
It's only Monday.
Okay, fine. Then I'll make everybody feel better. Like Mike Florio, I have no sources for this. This is just a feeling that I have, but I can readily admit that. All right. What has Jerry Jones said about why they didn't bring Rico Dowdle back? Do you remember? Ish?
Something about money. Yeah, something like that. He loves to talk about the cap and how much they can spend.
He got Rico Dowdle. Whew, got an unbelievable offer. Couldn't match that. Now, Yoffer was 1 year, $3 million, with $2.75 million guaranteed and the possibility of up to $6.5 million. Now, to Rico Dowdle's credit, he's on the precipice of reaching 1.75 of that $2.75 million in possible incentives. So it does look like the deal is going to be kind of closer to that $5 to $5.5 million. But 1 year for $5 to $5.5 million, whew, that's just too much. Couldn't possibly handle that. The running back water that we like to tread in, Javonte Williams, 1 year, $3 million with $1 million guaranteed. So the breaking point for the Cowboys was that Rico Dowdle got $2.75 million guaranteed with a potential for another $2.75 million guaranteed. And we only gave Javonte Williams $1 million guaranteed, all right? And that speaks to the issues you already have with the salary cap. And we'll get to Max Crosby in just a second. I guess my point is, it does feel like, despite the rhetoric of, do you know how big of a check I would write? Maybe that check is not so big after all. And so if you could either A, keep Eberflus, or B, hire another less accomplished defensive coordinator for significantly less money, what in the world makes Cowboys fans, makes me, think that we would spend all of the money to get Brian Flores?
I think there's a couple reasons I would still have hope for it. One, I think Shoddy was very calculated going into the Vikings game, how he was speaking about that defense. I think he was kind of loving up Brian Flores for a reason. I think he knew that his contract's expiring and Jerry's not so happy with the guy that he picked. And I think Shoddy's going to have a lot of input in the next defensive coordinator if and when Matt Eberflus gets fired. So I think that Shoddy is going to have a big role in these negotiations and saying maybe he goes full Platinum Chevy and pounds his fist on the table and says, hey, I need a good defensive coordinator. I need a great defensive coordinator because I'm in the same boat as you. I don't think he's going to be a head coach in the next cycle. I really don't think he's going to be one as long as he has active litigation against the league.
I do kind of wonder how much the league is like, hey, you can stay where you're
at. Yeah, just kind of pump the brakes until we get this figured out and the dust settles just a little bit. But the other thing is, Jerry keeps on talking about, I'm sick and tired of the turnover. I'm sick and tired of new scheme every single year. I want consistency. I think Brian Flores is the guy that you can count on to bring that multi-year consistency. So maybe he does pony up the money because he sees the opportunity to let some of these younger players and some of these veteran players even get their tools maximized and get their skills maximized for the next 3 years, you know, at best, if he does get another head coaching job down the line. So I think long-term security, he might be okay with a bigger investment. That's just me being hopeful and saying if it does happen, I think that's why.
I would love for it to happen, especially in a place where you're not kind of behind the eight ball like you consistently are with the salary cap. You can spend whatever the hell you want on Brian Flores. If you really would write the check that we couldn't even fathom how big it would be, this is a great opportunity to do that without running afoul of the salary cap whatsoever. But let's bounce back into the salary cap. And here's where I wanted to talk about Javonte and Max Crosby, because I know everyone is all a tizzy about Max Crosby as well. But consider Javonte. I would love for Javonte Williams to come back. But if we thought, or if the Cowboys, excuse me, thought that a one-year, $3 million deal with $2.75 million guaranteed and up to $6.5 million total possible was just, oh, it's too much. Doesn't that sound about like what Javonte Williams is going to want? Isn't he going to want like a three-year, $18 million deal? Actually, maybe he'll want even more than that, but I think you could get a three-year, $18 million deal. And I would warn people that it feels like that's not something the Cowboys would want to do. So now let's piggyback that with Max Crosby. All right, so again, I love math. I crunch the numbers. Max Crosby, 2 years, $65.5 million left in his contract. $5 million of that will be eaten by the Raiders. So if he gets traded, assuming they don't change any of the contract, but you could do that, 2 years, $60.5 million to the new team. Do you believe that the Dallas Cowboys, no matter how much love and respect they have for Max Crosby, would take on a player that would hit the cap at $30 million per year, not to mention the draft assets that would go along in that deal?
I think the combination of those two things that you just said make it pretty much impossible for Jerry and Steven to sit down and say, yes, this is a logical move. If one thing was lesser than the other, if it was maybe less draft capital that would be needed, if it was less money that you're taking on, I think they would say, pull the trigger because we don't have enough time. You know, especially if they get a guy like Brian Flores in the building and they say, let's give him every possible asset that we can financially to give him the tools to do his job like he was doing in Minnesota. I could see that, but those things are not equal right now. That is not the case. So I don't see them committing the long-term dollars, even if it is just a couple of years, when they still have other free agent signings to figure out, aka George Pickens. They still have decisions to make just position battle-wise. You know, how do they want the offensive line to look like? How do they want Terrence Steele's future to look on this team or not? You know, and then you have other holes that you have to fill in terms of depth, and you know that they love to talk about their depth at certain positions, so they need to go and get a veteran guy on a one-year, $3 million deal here, and you need to do it on the other side of the ball at this position. So I think they just have too many eggs that need to go in too many different baskets. I want it to happen.
Yeah.
I love how Jerry talks about Max Crosby, trust me, because I know how Jerry gets, and it makes me feel like if it costed him nothing money-wise, the picks would already be gone and the trade would have already been done. But the money is still a reality.
From the 254, Schottenheimer's culture might emphasize paying a running back more than McCarthy's old school ways. I'm not disputing that that could be the case. I do kind of wonder, does he get to make that decision? I would think that you wouldn't.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Power your coach to make that kind of decision, but I don't know if they will. My point is, we did a study the week before last when I actually showed up to work about how the Cowboys could easily flip the switches with relatively little turnover and have about $70 million in cap space, depending on what you wanted to do with George Pickens. But what I hate to do is, all of that was accurate in that segment, but I feel like I might have gotten myself too hyped up of thinking, so you could do this, you could do this, you could do this. And while you could find a way to make the move for Max Crosby if you really, really wanted to, or and pick up Brian Flores and still keep Pickens and still keep Clark, I should know better. Deep down in my heart, I should know, hey, Javonte did a great job. We just can't afford him at $7 million a year. But look who else we got. This one guy that you thought was going to be good 2 years ago. And yeah, I know Max Crosby is good, but he's got nothing on Donovan Ezeraku coming up in year two. And I just feel like those are the things that I've convinced myself could happen when deep down I know, like, probably none of that's going to happen.
Oh, so you're telling me that it's not going to happen, and I'm now sad. So you have to deal with sad Alec for the next 3+ hours.
Okay, well, then I will try to work on cheering you up, but don't you think, I turn the mic off, don't you think if I said we go 0-3 on Crosby, Javonte, and Flores, couldn't you see that?
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen.
See, then why are you sad?
Because you're making me face reality. I don't like facing reality during this time slot.
And then from the 817, by the way, Kevin, how's the third round of rehab? Well, there's a reason I'm sneezing. We're the KNC Masterpiece.
Yes!
Right here. Not true.
We were
on
right.
On 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, something that will probably kind of, sort of make you happy. Mm. The Stars and Mavs Super Segment next on The Fan.
And it's back to the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. This upcoming segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Frankel first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Frankel and Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas.
Scores! His sixth NHL game, his first career shootout attempt, and it's a game winner.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. It's time for the Stars and Mavs Super Segment. I said that was probably going to make you feel better because theoretically, both of these teams could still achieve things, and the Stars clearly look like they're ready to do big things this year. But they did lose in a shootout to probably the worst team in the NFL. NHL.
So you're telling me two things.
No, don't do that all day.
Two things. One, you're telling me they're a football team now. And two, they just lost to the worst team, which means they are the worst team.
That's
what you're telling me. That's what I heard, Jacob.
That checks out to me, man. Logic checks out.
And he loves math. And I think the math is mathing here.
Huh. Interesting thought experiment then for you. I want everyone listening right now to consider this. Did this thought experiment pop into my head 10 seconds ago? Yes. Yes, it did. Here's the scenario. The Stars lost to Chicago, so they would have to drop from 57 points to 34 points. But if the Cowboys beat the Giants on Sunday, they would take their spot and theoretically get the number two pick in the draft.
Ooh.
That is the deal that I present to you. Now, my argument would be that the Cowboys wouldn't figure out a way to get a better draft pick unless they traded their other first-round pick or the other one. But the Stars are so good, they could claw their way back into the playoffs by the time this season ended. In fact, what would they be? They would only be like 7 points out of the playoffs. That'd be fine.
I would take it because I do believe in the Stars enough. And hey, you drop two in a row and you still picked up 2 points. Like, this team will pick up points. They will make things interesting until the bitter end. I don't like that call coming back because, you know, first time ever in a career shootout situation. And he wins. I would take it just because I know what their power play is capable of, and I know what their offense is capable of day in and day out. So, yeah, I think they could claw their way back, and then we get Caleb Downs in a Cowboys jersey.
Man, look at that. He's already got the player out of Ohio State and
yes,
everything ready to go. Jacob, would you make this preposterous deal that I have just set up?
I would, because I think it'd make for a hell of an offseason. I think we'd have a lot of fun talking draft, and I think it'd be a lot of fun to see the Stars dig their way out of that hole that they're capable of getting out of. And I would not probably go Caleb Downs. I think I'd go Arvell Reese. That'd probably be the realm that I'm looking at. But I'm still with you, Alec, on the Ohio State player. So,
man, I already love that we're debating this fictitious scenario's payout with the number two pick. Now, in all seriousness, because of, and this might be a question for another day, but I've been reading some stuff about this for a while. Do you think, or could you ponder a world in which the NHL switches their scoring system to kind of more like high-level soccer? Because you've seen so many, like, take Colorado, for example. Colorado has 2 regulation losses this year, and they have 7 in overtime or shootout. So then you take the Stars. The Stars are 25-7-7, which sounds a lot better than 25-14. Could you envision a scenario in which the NHL switches to more of a 3-1 point system where you get 3 points if you win in regulation and then you get 1 point if you win in overtime or shootout and you get nothing if you lose? Because I think, like, the Stars lost the last 2 games in overtime and both in shootout. But you still got the 2 points. Whereas if you won both of those games straight away in regulation, you would have only got 4 points. That seems a little off to me.
It does seem a little off. I don't know if the league would go for that, but I would want them to. I think it just sounds more fair, and it does put more of an emphasis on regulation. Not to say that teams are out there banking on overtime games, but
it kind of feels like maybe they do.
Some, I think, might, because they know, especially whenever they are at the top of the league, like the Stars, I feel like you can have some comfort that we can afford a slow start. We can afford to be rusty after the 3-day Christmas break because we can probably force this thing post-regulation and pick up a point no matter what happens. So maybe some of the better teams do live and die by that, and you see it a lot towards the end of the season when you're trying to figure out divisions, that some teams really do just say, can we get our best players on the ice to try to get one more goal to even things up so we can pick up that point and not worry about what happens after that? I do want to kind of eliminate that from the game. And I like the idea of being rewarded more for getting the job done when it's supposed to be done.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there because that's something I've been contemplating for a while. And by the way, the Stars are fine. Do I wish they would have won both of those games? Sure. But they still got a point in the last 2 games after being in the midst of a 4-game winning streak. And then they will host Buffalo again on New Year's Eve. You get the annual New Year's Eve game at the American Airlines Center. So the Stars are doing just fine. And I wanted to add another reason that they're doing just fine. Check out, if you haven't already, check out the upped level of physicality from Jason Robertson this year. All right. So Jason Robertson, he talked about this and he goes, look, that's the way hockey has been going lately. Very wash right there. I want to be stronger on my skates, definitely. It's physical out there. It's just the way the game's going. I'm trying to win more and more puck battles. So we've talked about Robertson. He's on pace for a career high in goals, far above 1 point per game. But he also has 24 hits this season, which just in a vacuum, you might be like, eh, that's fine. But from Jason Robertson, that's a touch. That's a good bit up statistically. And then players, his teammates and the coach have also taken notes, excuse me, I'll get it together, about his checking ability this year.
Yeah, Corey and I kind of posed the idea that maybe some of the additions and some of the voice and leadership changes have kind of played into that. Corey also threw in maybe trying to make the Olympic team. Kind of adds an emphasis to his game, which...
And at this point, wouldn't you be surprised if he didn't get picked to the Olympic roster?
Very surprised, because he has added an element to his game that my theory is, I seriously think that adding Mikko Rantanen to your team does something to the psyche of the team of like, because we watch him and we joke about how he's caused a few injuries already this season because of his physicality, but... When he does get those open looks with the puck by himself, he is masterful with his delivery of the puck, his movement. Everything he does is so clinical and so calculated. He shows that you can balance power, physicality with finesse and speed. You can show athleticism in multiple ways, which Jason Robertson has never been short of athleticism. He's just been short of the aggression and getting up in people's faces. And like he said, the puck battles, he didn't seem very interested in it the past couple of years. But now I think he's just seen it in front of him. He's seen it work out that I can play both ways.
Right.
And I can be calculated and show those different forms and those different styles in different moments in the game. So I think he's just learning that two things can be true at once. I can be finesse guy. I can be masterful with my movement, but I can also run a guy over and take the puck away from him every now and then when I decide it's necessary. And I think that's definitely added to his game. And that's why I'm so confident in this team, is because if he's finding new tools to add to his bag, then I think the sky is the limit for this team.
And look, like you said, it doesn't hurt having maybe the template for that style of play right in the same locker room as him and frequently on ice with him at the same time. So I'm with you on that. All right. Since it is the Stars and Mavs super segment, go ahead and give me cut number four, will you please? And let's talk a little bit about the Dallas Mavericks.
Probe up the baseline, and a probe in the paint here by Marshall. Bounce pass to PJ. Outside to Klay Thompson. Three-pointers up and on the money for Klay.
Now, we played that highlight to make it sound like things were going well. Oh. In actuality, Positive Jacob has misled us, and the Dallas Mavericks did, in fact, they lost. And this was a theme of the weekend. Hey, teams that play in the American Airlines Center, for now, I realize the Mavs, it was a road game. Can you both lose to maybe the worst team in your respective leagues? Now, maybe Sacramento's only third worst. Maybe you think Chicago's only second worst in the NHL. But the Dallas Mavericks lose to the woeful Sacramento Kings. And man, they needed a run led in part by Cooper Flagg, especially in the third quarter, to even make it competitive, because they were getting their asses kicked in the first round. Or excuse me, in the first half.
They were, and my favorite number that's not so pretty from this game, 21 turnovers. Not great.
Brutal.
And whenever you're letting a 37-year-old Russell Westbrook just take that clock and turn it backwards a few years, he looked like everything I remember watching him do 10 years ago, which is not fun. And it seems to be the theme for the Mavericks this year. It's the person that you don't think is going to beat you that's going to beat you. And it was that way last year a little bit, too. I would say this on the weekends a lot. Like, hey, at least it's not the superstar player that's beating you. It's the sixth guy off the bench. You know, like, it's not your keys to the game were don't let this guy beat us. And he didn't.
Right.
It was the guy that shouldn't have beaten you. But, yeah, just an ugly game. 21 turnovers in the game. Came out a little bit flat, as you mentioned, in the first half. It just looked like their energy wasn't there. They started to play the way I expect them to in the second half, but things just it was too patchy. It was too splotchy for them. That the lead ballooned back up in the fourth quarter for the Kings in a couple of stretches where they just couldn't score. Free throws were going the way of the Kings as well. It was just ugly.
And I'm kind of getting closer to the point where I just want the Mavericks to be consistent and pick the direction we're going to go for the season, because you would think with the injury to Anthony Davis, even if he's only going to miss another game or two, like how much longer is that going to last? Patrick Dumont, per Mark Stein, who is super plugged in when it comes to this team, Patrick Dumont is among the people in the Mavs organization that want to see Cooper Flagg, Kyrie Irving, and Anthony Davis play together. And so on the one hand, if they're going to go for it, no matter what, then you want them to start winning, right? Because if you don't want them to start winning, which I think is a completely reasonable thought for this season as well, hasn't the last week or so been exactly perfect for you? Because think about it. The Mavericks have managed to lose four or five games, and you've continued to see Cooper Flagg turn into a stud right in front of your eyes, not even halfway through the season. Consider this, for the month of December, 24 points per game, 6.2 rebounds, 4.6 assists, and 1.2 blocks. But the most important part in all of this, look at that three-point shooting percentage. That's what we talked about. You saw the same kind of struggle at Duke, where his three-point shot was abysmal to start the season, then heat up. By the time you get to the tournament, he shot 50% from three. And honestly, if he can ever shoot 50% from three for an entire season, he'll be the best player in basketball. I don't necessarily know if that part's going to happen, but you saw his three-point percentage jump up to 36.4%. Still not where you would want to be, and I would love to see it at 39. If he can get it to 40, well, hallelujah for that. It was only 25% most of the season before that. All right, so a little bit more than a month before that. So Cooper Flagg starting to find his three-point shot, which you pretty much need.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
In the modern NBA and averaging 24, 6, and 4.5, and then he just turned 19, all while the Mavericks still managed to lose games for a potential draft pick, since this will be the first one they own out, the only one they own outright until 2031. So if you're on that track, then it was a great couple of weeks. But I'm like, man, if the owner wants to see the whole thing together, then we're not doing any of this. We're not trading anybody. We're just waiting for Kyrie to come back and just tread water the best we can.
And it disappoints me to no end, because I am over it. I'm over the AD experiment. I am ready to move on. I tried to see it through because it looked like good things were happening when he was healthy, and they still are here and there. But I know that you're lucky to get 25 cents on the dollar for talented bigs in the NBA when it comes to the trade market, especially midseason. I want to blow it up already. I want this thing to be done because, like you said, best of both worlds. You're losing games, and somehow Cooper Flagg is getting better in losses. So I'm just glad that he's finding his confidence, and he should be finding his confidence with a bunch of young guys on the floor and some new faces next season, because you got draft assets.
Well, then this is what we'll pitch out. Tomorrow, the Mavericks play again tonight against Portland. That game will probably end about midnight, maybe a little bit after, in case you're not all caught up. We will catch you up tomorrow, but also break down a couple of viable Anthony Davis trades. And you might be like, well, hold on, the trade deadline's not for like another 5 weeks. Well, think about this. The last game Luke ever played as a Maverick was on Christmas Day. Why not make the last game Anthony Davis ever played with the Mavericks on Christmas Day? Let's just go ahead and knock that out. Mm. Make that a tradition that hopefully only lasts those 2 years. Hopefully only just those 2 years, and then we'll move on for it. And we're looking at you, Atlanta Hawks. We have a deal we'll bring to the table tomorrow in addition to talking about that game against the Trailblazers. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy Part 1. That's right, the Sunday night shootout and the sadness it brought to Jacob. Next on The Fan.
This segment on the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. If you're in the market to upgrade your vehicle, get the Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine. Back-to-back number one Chevy dealership in the world. They've got more new Chevys than anyone, all priced to sell. Silverados, Tahoes, Blazers, Malibus, Equinox, and more. Visit ClassicChevrolet.com. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, and enjoy the difference. Based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023 and 2024.
And a first down for the Bears. Ed Williams to the air one more time, sending it downfield to the end zone for Bird, and he's got it! Touchdown, Chicago!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. I'm going to allow you guys to decide what just happened. The Chicago Bears superfan Jacob Ray play a pro Bears clip to come back, or did he just play the audio that I requested? I will let you decide what the answer to that is. As for the first of two times today, powered by Men's Tea Clinic, we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy. Dip.
I'll help Jacob out here.
Dip.
There we go.
You know, Jacob, now I'm glad the Bears lost. I'm just kidding.
They stink.
All right. So I thought about it, and after an NFL Sunday, it feels foolish to try to restrict all of the football content that's happening. So let's start with the Sunday night shootout. For the first time, I found this to be kind of amazing. For the first time in NFL history, two teams were tied at 7, 14, 21, 28, and 35. They thought field goals were stupid for a while, and then obviously a field goal looked like it was going to play a really big part in the game. But this game was outstanding if you don't care for field goal kickers or generally defense, or maybe Trent Williams, because he went out with a right hamstring injury on the first play of the game. And we will see. TBD on that. Kyle Shanahan said something really fascinating after the game. He said, Trent tried to go and he couldn't. He told me he hadn't pulled a hamstring before, so I'm really not sure how it'll be. I love the idea that these athletes can go, no, yeah, I had this injury before. It was maybe a little worse, maybe not as bad as this other time. And that took 2 weeks, but since this is a brand new injury for him, we'll see. Obviously, that would be a tough loss for the San Francisco 49ers. However, they got a huge win last night over the Chicago Bears that could end up being decisive in the number one seeding process. I know Seattle's like, hey, don't forget about us, but that could be a big determining factor for the number one seed.
This game was drugs, and I took all of them. I took every single ounce of them because I thought that it was going to be over after the first play of the game, not just because of the injury, but because of a tip pass interception by Brock Purdy that gets housed. That Bears defense has just been so incredibly good at turning the ball over this season, because you talk about the coaching staff that they have there, and what's the name that comes up? Ben Johnson. Every single time. Offense, 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 and the offense has been fantastic. But man, do they get takeaways. They got Jalen Johnson back, who was in coverage for that play, got the ball up in the air, and the rest is history. I thought it was going to be done after that. I was like, the Bears are so red hot right now. It's going to be so hard to stop their momentum. And then the 49ers remind you that, hey, Kyle Shanahan can make basically any offense look great. The defense can be a problem. We will outscore every single person we play because Brock Purdy continues to make me look like an idiot every time he plays American football. And Christian McCaffrey, even when he was dealing with that little bit of a back issue that he had last night, still looked great in that game.
Christian McCaffrey, 181 yards from scrimmage. Brock Purdy, 5 touchdowns, 3 passing, to rushing. And then you were talking about the Bears. Luther Burden looked like he was playing against the Cowboys out there again, the way he was coming to life. Now, Jacob, I'm going to go over to you. I promise not to gloat, but I was intrigued by something you said before the show. It's a loss for the Bears, but, you know, another really competitive one where the offense looked as good, if not better, than it has all season. Maybe that Bengals game, but like pretty much as good as it's looked all season.
Yeah, and a lot of the we all know how good the running game is, and there's been some concerns surrounding the passing game, and you obviously didn't have Rome Odunze. Ben Johnson said at the beginning of the season this offense would be humming in December, and kind of last night was the first time you've seen the pass game click as well as it did, and it was a loss, but I mean, I think San Francisco is arguably one of the best teams in the NFL, and when they get that defense healthy, with the way that offense is playing, they're going to be nasty. And possibly the one seed, and you went in and only lost by 4 points in San Francisco. But yeah, I mean, you had Caleb Williams take a step closer to possibly reaching 4,000 yards next week, which I hope he does because I'm sick of the jokes.
Never happened in the history of the Bears franchise.
Sick of the jokes. But yeah, like Alex said, I mean, it was a hell of a football game. Couldn't have been happier it would have been happier with a win, but I mean, that's probably the most enjoyable loss I think I've ever watched.
Now, a lot of stuff at play, like you were just kind of alluding to going into the last weekend of the season. The 49ers have now won 6 straight. If they can make it 7 straight, they can have the number one seed. On the flip side, you might end up down at number 5. The Chicago Bears are still in position to take the number 2 seed, but watch out because they could still get jumped by the Eagles, and then they would slide down as well, and then that number 2 seed feels obviously pretty desirable, although maybe the number 5 seed is the most desirable, so you can beat the living crap out of whoever wins the NFC South, which if the Falcons win tonight could be spiraling towards a 3-way tie, which would be awesome because all 3 of the teams might have losing records. We'll discuss that a little bit. It could happen.
Who was it in the offseason that pitched the idea of reseeding and taking away the automatic bid for division winners?
Yes.
I bet they're even more mad looking at the NFC South and seeing how bad it is. And they're like, we weren't wrong. We were just early.
Yeah.
Y'all should have listened because this is bad.
I mean, look, Carolina, I think, is easily one of the most unpredictable teams in the league.
Yes.
But, like, Tampa's 1-7, I think, down the stretch, and they could still be hosting a playoff game against the 49ers, in which I feel like I would be stunned if the 49ers didn't go in there, not just win, but beat them down. And yet, that is the system which we currently have. But then again, I also would not have predicted by any stretch of the imagination that Seattle would currently be sitting in the number 1 seed, yet here we are. But you did bring it up with the earlier loss from the Packers. The Bears did clinch their first division title since 2018, and this was a big weekend for division title clinches because the Houston Texans clinched their third straight playoff berth, but the Broncos were a big winner. They clinched the AFC West title for the first time in 10 years with the Chargers' loss. And what was really shocking about that Chargers loss is Dicker the kicker looked human. He had the greatest conversion rate for field goals in the history of the NFL, and then he misses a 32-yard field goal at the end of the first half, so a chip shot, and then an extra point in the fourth quarter. So I'm not shocked that they lost. I'm just shocked that that's a big part of how they lost that game to the Broncos.
And it's emblematic of the Chargers' season, in my mind, is that they've relied on the close game scenario way too much.
That sounds familiar.
And what happens when they go against an elite defense? They did not look great.
Nope.
Not at all. Justin Herbert was getting terrorized the entire game. He did have an interception on his log, but that's one of those games that you watch and you say, okay, the made-up scenarios that people love to make for Justin Herbert and stuff, this is one of those games where it is totally valid because he was making some absurd throws on the move, under duress. He was doing everything he possibly could. He was the team's leading rusher in this game, too. With 37 yards. The Texans had the key, and the Texans' defense is terrifying.
Yeah, it's, I mean, to go from where they started the season looking like that thing was over less than a month in
0-3.
To, yeah, where they are now, and they have an opportunity to still win their division as well, though Jacksonville clearly has the advantage going into the final weekend of the season. Go ahead, if you can, give me cut number 7, because surely one of the most amazing statistical performances of the weekend belonged to this team.
New England was in the first. Drake May. Got a man. It's Stevenson. It's a touchdown. May's 9 for 9, and the Patriots are rolling the Jets on the road.
Now, I say surely one of, because I feel like Derrick Henry, I don't want to disrespect him. Drake May, 5 touchdowns, unbelievable completion percentage. The Patriots, 13-3, gives them their first division title in the post-Belichick era. First division title in 6 years. Mm-hmm. And I know we've kind of talked about this throughout the year, but yet another sign that Drake May is already, sickeningly, if you don't like the Patriots, so freaking good.
He has arrived, and that offense is so, so good with him at the helm. And again, we're almost done with 2025, so I get to say this a couple more times. I cannot believe in the Lord's year of 2025, I am saying that Josh McDaniels is one of the best scheme designers and play callers in professional football.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. That's a great way to put it. We will talk more about Derrick Henry and some of the records that were broken this weekend a little bit later, but congratulations to the Patriots. By the way, congratulations to Stephon Diggs. He had enough catches to secure a $500,000 contract bonus. Ho, ho, ho. Nice little bonus Christmas right there. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Plus, what do you need to happen tonight on Monday Night Football to win your fantasy football championship? Next on The Fan.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.